I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News, Ayla Scavacci, her mum, Josie Hodgetts, and interpreter Christy, sitting right next to me, who is interpreting and speaking to Ayla and her mum in Auslan, is that right?
Yes.
And I also have with me Annie Carswell, who I think is about to become a life member, or is already a life member of Sir Optimus International. And we are meeting today in Fremantle together to talk about something rather special. Annie, not long ago, I think Sir Optimus received a letter from Ayla.
Yes, we did.
What did the letter tell you?
It was a request for funding assistance for her trip to Canada on behalf of the deaf... Help me. I've forgotten the title. Sorry.
It's the World...
Yes, the World Federation of the Deaf Youth Section Children's Camp.
Now...
Thank you. Sorry. That,
it is a mouthful. I've been Googling it to find out just what happens, and I want to go as well, but I think I'm too old. So what happened with the request? Must have been rather touching, actually, Annie.
Yes, it was, because Ayla is very young. She's 10 years old, and we don't normally provide funding for individual people. It's usually for groups of women or girls. And we were keen to help her out and assist because she presented such an interesting case. And through her request, her mum had had a connection previously with the Sir Optimus Club in Tasmania and had assistance from them because her mother is also deaf. And there was just connections. It was very positive. The membership, we had 32 members in the club, and all were in agreement that this would be a very interesting project for us and a worthwhile use of our funds. So we offered a significant amount of money to assist in getting Ayla to Canada for the conference and convention.
Well, that is really wonderful, Eddie. Thank you for introducing this podcast by telling us, in a sense, in a chronological sense, what happened. A letter arrives at Sir Optimus from a 10-year-old girl, and that's Ayla Scavacci. Now, Ayla, tell us a couple of things about yourself. Where do you go to school?
So I go to Fremantle Primary School.
I love Fremantle Primary School. I often walk down there and sit and look at the headstones of the people who passed away nearly 150 years ago.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful school. We still have those cemeteries there.
Now, in your letter to the Sir Optimists, Ayla, what did you tell them about you and why you would like their assistance and how you were going to Canada?
So, as well as Canada, I'm going to the to that youth camp, but I'm also going to Gallaudet University and Riverside Deaf School. So, Gallaudet University is the only liberal arts university in the world that is for deaf people, and so I'm also going to go visit there as well, and my mum has connections with Riverside and Gallaudet.
Josie.
Yeah, so with the camp, she's going to the camp first, and then after that we're going to the US to visit some of these really important deaf sites so that Ayla can, you know, keep in mind for her own future, if that is something that's in her future to be attending that university.
Josie, you're deaf as well, as we know.
Yes.
And did you once go to Gallaudet yourself?
Yes, I did, yes.
And obviously that was some years ago. I mean, the Americans talk about going to college, and I suppose that's what was happening, was it?
Yeah.
And what did tell us a little bit about Gallaudet and why it's so important, because I imagine Isla one day would like to go there as well.
Yeah, so maybe when would it have been 25 or 30 years ago, I was part of an exchange program where I went to the California School for the Deaf, Riverside, and I was a student there for a year, and all of my friends from that school were going to Gallaudet University, and that was a little bit of a bummer for me at the time because I had to come back to Australia. And at that time, there were very limited opportunities for any deaf people. There still are quite limited opportunities in Australia. So I sought some funding, and that's actually how I first had contact with the Soroptimists in Tasmania, because they then supported me with some funding as well as some other organisations so that I could then attend Gallaudet University.
And in terms...
And Gallaudet is the only liberal arts university in the world for deaf people.
And...
So that was a really incredible stepping stone for me in terms of my growth as, you know, a deaf person, knowing, you know, who I was in this world. It opened many doors and opportunities for me, and I want the same for Isla. So I just want her to have a look and, you know, who knows what her future will be, but at least she'll have that possibly in mind.
Well, it sounds very exciting, Isla. But first, Isla, tell me about the camp. I think I had whispered in my ear that you go to Toronto via Sydney and you go to the camp, which is up on Lake Huron, quite away from places. It's going to be very exciting. What happens there?
So it's run by the World Federation of the Deaf Youth Section, and they have these camps every 4 years. They have camps. So 4 years ago my brother went, and he had an incredible time. He came back, he told me all about it, and I was really jealous. But you have to be in the right age range, and so this one came around. You also have to apply, so only 4 people from all of Australia are chosen. So out of, I don't know how many other deaf kids in Australia would have applied, but I was one of those 4 who was chosen to represent Australia at the camp. And Mum's saying, and you'll also go to Sydney first and meet with the other 3 people because I haven't met them. Yeah, that's right. So I'm going to Sydney first. The 4 of us that were chosen go to Sydney, and then we meet each other there. We have met on Zoom and those sorts of things, but we'll meet in real life in Sydney. So it's just really great. I get to meet lots of new people. As a deaf person here in WA at my school, there's very, very few of us here. Like, there's lots of hearing people and lots of opportunities for everyone else, but as a deaf person, we don't have the same opportunities. So I'm going to go and meet lots of other deaf people, lots of other deaf kids.
And is there something in particular you think you're going to love finding out about when you go to the camp? Something you might be most excited about.
Well, yeah, I think I'm most excited about, so in the camp program, it says there's going to be ATV.
ATV?
Like ATV riding, like the
motorbikes. Oh, wow.
I mean, that sounds pretty exciting. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. So that's going to be great. And, and then there's like a cultural night. So this camp, because there's kids from all around the world, we all bring stuff from our own culture. So some food and flags and items. And so that's going to be great because we get to share Australian culture and, you know, I get to share everybody else's. And then because we're at the lake, so that also means that there's going to be lots of swimming and water activities and... just to be able to do all of that with a bunch of other deaf kids will be great.
Well, I think, and I imagine it's going to inspire you even more being involved in the deaf world.
Yeah, absolutely. And, oh, the other thing, so Mum's just prompted me a bit about sign language, because like we will all have different sign languages. So Auslan is Australian Sign Language, and there's going to be people there from all around the world using all of their sign languages. So there is something called International Sign, which is a very visual, lots of gesture, it's very, very clear. And then often when you meet someone who uses another sign language, you kind of pick up each other's and you learn each other's things. But that's going to be really exciting to learn how to communicate in international sign. And we have been, to get us ready to go to the camp and learn international sign, a family friend of ours, her name is Drasana Levitsky-Gray. Hopefully I spelt her name correctly, it's a very long name. She's quite a well-known deaf person, and she is an interpreter in a number of different languages, and so she has been organising for all of us to learn international sign. She's been teaching us online. So we've had a little bit, some lessons, and to sort of teach us, you know, how to make sure we're communicating visually. But it's something that deaf people often are able to do much easier, because every day when we go out into the community, we have to communicate with people who don't sign. So just to give you a bit of background on that, whenever deaf people get together at various international events, and there are many of them, then we have international sign. So it's not a language, it's a way that when deaf adults come together, we're able to communicate without language barriers. And part of that is because our everyday life, we are always communicating with people who can't sign. So when you get two people who are very good at nonverbal communication in their own countries, when they come together, they can do it really well. At the moment, Drasana, who was being mentioned, is in Kenya at an event currently.
Well, thanks for explaining that, Josie. Now, Isla, do you like maple syrup?
Oh, I love it. Love it on pancakes.
I imagine in Canada, you'll probably have it for breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Oh, I hope so. I've been told they put it in the chocolate, is what I've been told.
Do they, Josie? Yes. Well, that's something to look forward to. Now, you've also been very busy here, Isla, at school, and you've been involved in all sorts of things. Tell me about some of them.
Last semester, I was a deputy counsellor at school. I was part of the leadership team. So as a year five student, most of the counsellors and leadership are year sixes, but as a year five, just a few of us are elected. So four of us are elected to be deputy counsellors. So I was one of those. And part of that was because, I'm known in my school as being very responsible and taking care of people. And, you know, I really love my school and I want to do the best there, if that makes sense.
Now, you go, as we've discussed, to Fremantle Primary School. And what's the hardest part of school, being deaf?
Nothing is really. Like, the school's very accessible. We have interpreters, we have deaf role models. The difficulty is when the interpreters are sick. And then we don't have relief. That is the main issue when we don't have interpreters available.
And the interpreter dealing with the hearing world is obviously very important, aren't it?
Yeah, interpreters are definitely important, but also if the interpreters aren't there, if, like, we have some really great teachers and staff and students who are also very visual, the students, you know, they're really good, you know, all my friends can sign, I've taught them, so they also help me out, and, you know, same with recess and lunch, then, you know, all my friends do that. Some of our teachers as well, our principal has also been learning some sign language during assemblies, so we sign the school song, we sign Advance Australia Fair, so there's also lots of Auslan in the school, which makes it much more accessible.
That's really wonderful. Josie, can I just ask you, you've grown up in a deaf family, like your kids are, there must be lots of wonderful things that come out of that.
Yeah, so I had deaf parents, which is a privilege because it means that I grew up with access to language, complete access to information in my home, in my community. Everything was accessible to me. And I would often have friends who would come to my house and they would be stunned because, you know, home was accessible. I could speak to my parents. I knew what was happening. There was captions on the TV, so I could watch television. All of these things that my deaf friends who had hearing parents, their homes were often not accessible. They didn't have communication. They found dinner time very difficult. They would often be eating on their own. They missed out on so much information, which absolutely was not the situation for me. And now, having deaf children myself is exactly the same. They have complete access to language, to communication within the home, which is, you know, obviously a huge privilege and benefit. But we're also the minority when it comes to deaf children and deaf families. So the deaf community is already a minority amongst the wider community. And we're actually a minority of a minority because a very small percentage of deaf people are from deaf families. The majority of all from hearing families who very likely don't sign. So we're one of only sort of 2 or 3%.
Josie, staying with you, mentioned before about North America, the USA being a different deaf world than in Australia. What would be the differences, or what would Australia like to do the deaf community to catch up?
Part of it is population, essentially. So Australia, the population generally is much smaller. And I mean, I was from Tasmania, which was even smaller than that. We were the only deaf family in all of Tassie. And as far as I know, still today, my family is still the only deaf family in all of Tasmania. So while there were some other deaf people, they weren't deaf families. And I grew up very, basically having itchy feet, like I wanted to know what else was out there, which is why I was able to go out to America. And because just the general population size, when you have a large population of deaf people, you can have more accessible services, you can have a university, those kinds of things, which there's certainly been improvements in Australia from my time. And certainly my time, there was a lot of improvements compared to my parents. But there's definitely still gaps out there. There's still barriers in our society. We still have, you know, struggles.
Isla, you're growing up in this world. Your mum's experienced it. She's been a pathfinder. You must be learning lots from her and living in your family.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know. I mean, personalities are different. So there are things that I'm very keen in that Mum isn't. But then there are other things that I definitely have learnt from Mum. And things like her love of travel is incredible. She's just a great role model generally. Yeah, yeah.
Now tell me, have you travelled a bit? This isn't your first flight, or is it? to Canada?
No, I've never been to Canada before, or the United States, but I have been to Europe. So when I was a very, very small baby, I went to Europe. And I've been to Tassie back and forth. Oh, and like we just got back from Europe too. I'm just being prompted that, oh yeah, we did just come back from Italy.
So quickly forgotten. So you must be really looking forward to this, Isla. Are you looking forward to just being on your own at the camp? I'm assuming you're on your own with all the other kids.
I mean, I will be very happy. I don't want to say too much in front of Mum. I mean, I love my family, but with two brothers, it can be a little bit much sometimes.
Well,
I imagine I think having a break
must be very impossible to be with. So you get to be on your own, eating maple syrup ice cream, having whatever you like, and meeting lots of kids. Do you have any idea how many deaf kids are going to be there? They're all about your age, aren't they?
Yeah, they have to be between 9 and 12.
Wow.
So that's the age range. And around about 45 at the moment. It depends on visas, unfortunately. So hopefully there'll be a few more, depending on various countries and visa processes. So maybe about 50 deaf children plus. So that's the children, and then there are leaders. So each country also has two leaders that attend. So there'll be six from Australia and six from the various other countries as well. And then depending on the country, some may have only one child attending, depending on the size of the country. Some will have more than that. I will be flying with Isla to Canada. So once we get to Toronto, I then don't see her for 10 days while she's having fun at the camp. Yeah, Mum will be partying, having some free time.
And there's only four Aussie kids.
Yeah, so there's four from Australia. I think there might be three from New Zealand who are going. You'll be meeting the New Zealand group in Toronto one day before the camp and get to know the Kiwi kids. And then there's other kids from a whole range of other countries. New Zealand Sign Language. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, New Zealand Sign Language is similar to Auslan, so that'll be good.
Well, Isla, we'll bring this podcast discussion to an end for the moment. Congratulations on getting the support of Sir Optimist and I think some others. You are going to have the best time, I can tell it, having met you. You're very lively, you're very enthusiastic, and I imagine you have a fair bit to say at times. And it's going to be great being with 40 or 50 kids around your own age. All deaf. It'll be. Have you ever experienced anything like that before?
No, certainly not at that scale. Yeah, not my age. No, like we have deaf events here with the deaf community here, but there's very few that are my age, and like two of the deaf kids here are my brothers, so I don't think they count. Whereas the camp will be, heaps of people my own age. Whereas here, all the deaf people here also have known me since I was born as well. Yeah, and Joseph's saying, most of the time when you're in, when we have events here, they're all mostly deaf adults or they are not your age. There might be deaf children from Mosman Park School. Also, a lot of them tend to be boys. There's very few deaf girls your age. Oh, yeah, boys are silly. Yeah, fortunately, there's a lot of deaf boys in the community at the moment her age, so that's a little bit tricky when you want friends. And she's of the age where she wants, you know, she wants other girl friends. And of the group going, the four of them, three are girls with one boy going. So, yeah, and that's, you know, he's all right. He's not too silly.
Well, you're going to meet a lot of people, and I imagine a bit like your mum. You'll know them forever.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So friends that I made when I was at Riverside and Gallaudet, like my host family, I'm going to be catching up with them again. They had, that host family I stayed with had three children when I was with them who were about my age. They've now gone on to have more children. So yeah, we're having a big host family catch up while I'm over there too.
As we finish up, Josie, there'll be people listening to this who are just hearing and don't know a lot about what happens in the deaf community here in Western Australia. There are schools where kids can go, but we also, as in Isla's case and your boys' case, they can be at the primary school, and as with Christy, they can have interpreters through the system to help kids through and have the educational experience that Isla's obviously having, where she doesn't find, from what she's told me, too many challenges at school. And having her very positive approach to life, I'm not surprised. But tell our listeners a little bit about what the education system is here that provides for the deaf.
So there's Mosmer Park School for Deaf Children, which is a fantastic place for deaf kids. So while these two are deaf, they go to a mainstream school with interpreters. And that was my choice because they have language. They grew up with language. A lot of the deaf children today are language deprived. And so they're actually starting their language journey much later in life when they get to school. So because of those communication barriers, because of parental choices when they were young, which is often because they've been told things by medical professionals that they have to make a choice to exclude sign language, and it's not, you don't need to make that choice at all. You can have all of the language options at all of the ages. However, because of poor advice parents get, often these children arrive at school without any language. And so Mosman Park has incredible programs for those kids. My children, however, didn't have that, so that's why they're attending their local mainstream school. But Mosman Park School is a fantastic school for deaf kids. And it's the only deaf school in Perth. There's no other school like it. And a lot of the deaf children today are mainstreamed, however, often with very minimal support. So I made sure when I put my children into Fremantle Primary School that they would have support, that they would have quality certified interpreters. So I did a lot of lobbying to make sure that the support they received was appropriately credentialed to do so, whereas in most schools that's actually not the case.
And what years does Mosman Park cater for?
K to six, yeah.
And high school?
Shenton College Deaf Education Centre, which is co-located with Shenton College. There are a couple of other high schools such as Belmont City College, which has a deaf centre, but Shenton College Deaf Education Centre, co-located with Shenton College, is the specific deaf school for high school students. And Mosman Park Primary School and Mosman Park School for Deaf Children is a feeder school for Shenton College.
And then if the kids want to go to university and they can't all go to Gallaudet, what happens?
Well, that's the thing. So in Australia, there are, you know, they could attend any university in Australia where there would have to be university provision. So Isla's father attended Murdoch University with interpreters. Yeah.
And
I want to have a look at the different universities.
Says
I.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I would love for her to go to Gallaudet one day. I don't put that on her, but I would love for that.
Well, it's in Washington, D.C., isn't it?
Yes.
You get to see everything in Washington, Isla. There's some great places to visit, apart from anything else, the Smithsonian, where you can see all of the space stuff and everything else, just about.
Yeah, it's amazing. Incredible museum there.
And you'll have no doubt
we'll have a look.
To make it. I imagine you'll have to make a speech to the school when you get back about what you've done and what you've seen.
I want to have a look at the Dexter. Oh, from the there's a movie, and so I want to go and have a look at that. From Night at the Museum. So I want to go. I want to go to that museum and hopefully see Dexter because he's great. And then his brother, which is in a different museum. But I think there's an aviation museum. Anyway, so I'm going to go to those museums to just see the characters from Night at the Museum. I don't know if you've seen Night at the Museum, but...
I have actually, and I was frightened.
It's not scary. What? No way! That'll be awesome!
Well, I'm pleased to hear it. Can I bring this discussion for the moment to an end by saying thank you, Isla, for coming in and talking to me. I'm really pleased that Sir Optimus have assisted you because you are going to have the best time. You're going to obviously learn so much. It's been lovely meeting you too, your mum, Josie. Thanks for coming.
And we'd also like to thank you and also thank the Sir Optimist as well. Like, huge thanks to Annie and Ali as well. Everything from the Sir Optimist, their support has been so appreciative. Yeah,
well, what we should do in a minute, so people listening to this can see you talking and Christy interpreting, is put the video camera on and you can say, thank you, Sir Optimist, for getting me there. That'll be worth doing, won't it? And Kit, thank you for coming along. I'm sure one day I'll probably do a podcast with you.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because he won't get any money from the Sir Optimist. He's not a girl. Well, maybe. You never know. Anyway, people think I'm a girl because I've got long hair. Yeah, but they know you're a boy.
Thanks. So you ran. I look forward to hearing when you get back. I would just go ahead.
Yeah, we'll do.